And that will help us understand where we came from, okay? Why we behave the way we behave. And especially why some of us just find it so hard to change. Okay? And it's a phenomenon of the Christian life. What do you need? What's that? Oh, okay. Okay, it's a phenomenon of the Christian life because as a Christian, your new creature is supposed to change. Alright, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Bible says you are a new creature, all things are passed away, behold, all things have become. You know, the word become in the Greek tense is a reflexive tense. That means that because of the fact that you are a Christian, reflexively means you are able to change. And then we look at the different reasons why. There's a personal workshop also. Have you ever done that, all those in the camp? Do you do your personal workshop? 6 reasons why people cannot change. And one of them is they fail of the grace of God. How God gives grace for us to change, but we don't want to accept it, or we're not in the Word, you see? It's something that we need to learn. But anyway, so today is Father's Day, and I'll be sharing a message to encourage fathers in our jobs, and also to look at some interesting things. All right, I'm going to read a few things first. Well, let's stand, all right? Let's stand and read our verse first. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Okay, then I can go on. Ephesians 6 and verse 4. Just one verse, Ephesians 6 verse 4. I hope it will be a challenge for all of us. This message is not just for fathers, it's for all of us. Alright? Ephesians 6 verse 4. Let's read together. Ready? 1, 2, begin. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for our fathers. Above all, we thank you that you are our Heavenly Father. One that looks over us, cares for us, and one who is faithful to us, even though, Lord, many times in our own lives, we have to admit that we were not as faithful as we should be to you. But God, we thank you for your all-loving faithfulness towards your children. And Lord, you are also faithful to those who do not know you. For the Bible tells us, Lord, that you even provide rain and food for people who rebel against you. But today, Lord, we just want to look at this verse. And Father, we pray that you will bless the fathers today. And that God, especially the Christian fathers, that their families will be strong because of them. And Father, for those who may not know Jesus, I pray that lives will change because of this message, Lord, because of your word. Father, thank you for what you're going to do now. Speak in and through thy servant, Lord. Even for myself, I'm unworthy. But we thank you, Lord, that you have made us worthy in Christ. We'll thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. William Shakespeare, right? I just want to mention this quote that he said, "It is a wise father that knows his own child." Another lady said this, "Sometimes the poorest man leaves his children the richest inheritance." Another man said that when I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant, I could hardly stand to have him around. But when I became 21 years old, I was astonished to find out how much that old man had learned in 7 years.
I need to think through.
There was this lady who said, "I have never been a material girl. My father always told me never to love anything, never to love anything that cannot love you back." I read that again. It's funny. "I have never been a material girl. My father always told me never to love anything that cannot love you back." Makes sense, right? You know who said that? Imelda Marcos. That's why it's so bad, right? It's so bad. You know Imelda Marcos?
Yes.
"I have never been a material girl." I think the father has some wisdom, right? You don't love something that cannot love you back. And she had how many pairs of shoes now?
Never mind, we won't discuss that.
the Jewish proverb. Now this one is, you need a bit of thinking. When a father gives to his son, both laughs. But when a son gives to his father, both cry. Can't hear? Okay. When a father gives to his son, both will laugh. But when a son gives to the father, both will cry. Something for you to think about. You can listen again and again and again. You know, there's a lot of deep truth in that one. You know the Jewish proverb that says the father gives to the son, the father gives to the son, both will laugh. But when the son actually gives to the father, both will cry. Think about that. I want to read to you the effects, the negative effects of father absence. This was a research done in 2007, okay, by this institute called Fathers Are Priceless. Amen? There's an institute that says fathers are priceless. See how the fathers are opening their eyes now. They talk about two things. One is the negative effects of father's absence. Okay? Talking about the effect on the mothers. Okay, the effect, if the father is absent, okay, I'm going to put it in perspective, right? These are teenage parents, okay? But as they grow up, what happens to them, right? What happens to the mom? Okay, the mom is more likely to smoke. What happens to the infants when the father is absent? Children are 1.8%. There's an increase of 1.8% that the child will die, and the infants born to these single mothers are more likely to have low birth weight. Okay? In terms of gerent health care, the father is absent, the children that grow up, the family are 5 times more likely to be poor. 20 to 30% higher probability of experiencing accidents, injuries and poisonings. Greater risk of being involved in dangerous or unhealthy behaviors when these behaviors are influenced by peers. That's a very significant thing. Fathers, now this is not in our category because we have a family. But this research tells us that the families that have the father absent, not around, there's a greater risk of the children getting involved in dangerous or unhealthy behaviors when these behaviors are influenced by friends. Father absence is one of the most common predictors of child abuse. And the child, the risk of neglect on a particular child when the father is not around is double. How does it affect a child's general development? Children who don't have their father there generally have more developmental delays, meaning that they're slower than the normal children their age. What about the mental health of these children? There's this thing called father hunger. According to their research, the father hunger, usually for boys between 1 to 2 years old. And this particular mental health problem is unique to fathers absent toddlers. That means toddlers without their fathers. It's called father hunger. There's an increased risk of development of antisocial behaviors, such as stealing, truancy, drug use, smoking, etc. There's an increased risk in the children having depression. There's an increased risk in the children having what we call conduct disorder. And there's an increased risk in the children, if father is absent, that the children will commit suicide. Some business that these children will do, they're about 2 times more likely to use tobacco, means smoke. They will use drugs more. They are 2 times more likely to use alcohol. And they are more likely to engage in premarital immorality. May I remind you, fathers, that God places the sole responsibility on a family on you. Mothers are there to help. Mothers, we already dealt with them in May, right? Amen. Now, fathers, our children, don't switch off first. Yours is in October. Not over yet. But in Genesis chapter 3, verse 16, I'll just read. I know it's not in the verses, but I'll just read. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and thy husband he shall rule over thee. The rulership of the family rests on the father. Ephesians 5:23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 3, and I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. Men, are you listening? The head of every man is not your boss. The head of every man is not your friends. The head of every man is Christ. And the head of the woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God. Judges chapter 2 verse 20, I'll just read these verses, just listen to the word. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he said, because that this people has transgressed my covenant which I commanded their fathers. Guess where God puts the responsibility on? God says the commandments were given to the fathers. Judges chapter 3 verse 4, and they were to prove Israel by them to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. 2 Kings chapter 21 verse 8, you can jot down the references. Neither will I make the feet of Israel move any more out of the land which I gave their fathers, only if they will observe to do according to all that I commanded them. Commanded who? The fathers. Psalm 78 verse 5, for he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. God was very clear. When he gave commandments, he gave it to the fathers. Why? Because the fathers, in God's mind, from eternity past, is the head of the family. Okay? And so coming to the New Testament, Paul says what? And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. God wants fathers today to know or to be reminded of the most essential duties for their children. You know, if you look at child development and family life, you realize the Bible doesn't have much to say in the New Testament with regards to family life. Oh, there's snippets here and there. 1 Timothy 5:8. Okay, if any man doesn't take care of his family, he's worse than an infidel, worse than a non-believer, if you don't take care of your family. There were a few snippets here and there. Jesus talks about the father and the male and the female, they are one in the family as well. But if you look at, there are not many. You know why? Because the Gentile church today, for us, God has already set in place in the Old Testament a lot of family rules. That is for God, as far as God is concerned, it's actually a given. That means, all we need to look is to the Old Testament, the Jewish practices of the family. Many of the principles that God gives in the Old Testament is for us today too. But Paul wraps up, actually, one very important thing about bringing up children in one verse in Ephesians 6 verse 4, which we have here, and then Colossians 3:21. These two verses about the responsibility of fathers. God wants every father to bring up their children in the Lord. Fathers, if your children live for the world, I say that again. The Bible is very clear, fathers. Bring up your children in the Lord. You will find no other commandment that God gives with regards to child bring up. You are to bring up your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. You are not to bring up your children to live for this world, neither for the devil, neither for himself. That includes both sons and daughters. The Bible is clear. Fathers, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. What does it mean? It means to lead them to Christ. It means to bring them up in accordance to the principles of the Bible, not the principles of MOE, not the principles of society, not the principles of what we think, and not the principles of what we think will bring them through life, but in the principles of God. It means to train them to put God first. In order for the children to put God first, parents, you got to put God first. After this, we'll talk on that. It means that your training methods must be from the Bible, not from the world. An old story tells us about a man who asked three stonemasons what they were doing. The first man said he was laying bricks. The second man said he described his building as a wall. But the third man said, I'm building a cathedral. Let me ask you a question, fathers, as you look at your children. What do you see your role as for your children? Do you see your role as a father? Oh, I must provide bread on the table. Or do you see your role as a father? Oh, I need to make sure he has a good career. Or do you see your role as a father? I need to bring up my son and daughter for God. Do you realize in the book of Malachi chapter 3, God says that fathers, your job is to bring up a godly seed. Sounds to me that God is quite consistent in the Old and the New Testament. That is the mind of God, fathers. If that is not in your mind, you need to repent and change and say, God, if that's your will, I need to do that. You know, ask the same question to a group of fathers concerning their role. One might say, I'm supporting my family. Another might say, see his role differently. I'm raising children. Fathers have great power to shape the emotional, psychological, and spiritual health of their children. Listen to this. A recent Reader's Digest article called Life Without Father shed some informing words on the lasting influence of a father on the lives of his children. The article explained, in the early years, more than two-thirds of all children prefer to play with their fathers. Playing with a father is very important in teaching the children the importance of self-control. Children who roughhouse with their fathers quickly learn that biting, kicking, and other forms of physical violence are not acceptable. Several studies have shown that a father's presence is one of the determinants of a girl's proficiency in mathematics. Mothers, you better be with your children playing rough house. An astonishing 26-year study found that a father has such a powerful influence. The most important childhood factor in developing empathy was the father's involvement in the child's care. Fathers, are you listening? Are you listening? 26-year-old research have shown that if a father is involved in a children's care when they are young, your children develop more empathy. No wonder maybe today why we have so much teenagers and children are just rebellious. God convicted my heart about this. I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about me. Are you surprised that a father has such powerful influence? God's word, this is a Christian writer, by the way. God's word has told us of a father's powerful influence long before modern sociological, psychological studies. You know why God made man? The Bible says, Psalm 127, verse 4 and 5, Lord, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. The scripture gives us clear warnings to fathers about misusing this power of influence on their children. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. The Lord has given fathers the power to make a tremendous impact on their children. Fathers, will you use this powerful influence? You can use this powerful influence to either build or destroy your child's life. Dads, you are not merely putting food on the table, although that is important. Listen to me. If you use jobs as an excuse not to get involved in children's life, you have sinned against God. Because your number one priority is to bring up your children in the fear of God. That's why you have the title father. That's why I have the title father. I preach this to you as much as I preach this to myself. God's words make it clear Many children have messed up lives today because of parents who are not living for God, who do not walk according to what God says. What are we to do in our children's training? Four things. Number one, do not provoke your child to wrath. The Bible says, Ephesians 6 verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Interestingly, the word provoke is the same Greek word as wrath. In other words, it actually has to do with making someone angry. It means to enrage, to irritate. Fathers, we are not to do anything to provoke or irritate our children to anger. Why? Because fathers, Colossians 3:21, the Bible tells us, provoke not your children to wrath, lest they be discouraged. You know what's courage? You know what's discouraged? The word courage means what? The word courage means what? Boldness in life, confidence to deal with things. What does discourage mean, and why is it that our children can get discouraged with our provocation? When a child is discouraged, it means this: to dishearten the child, to depress the spirit, to deprive of confidence in life. I was reading an article, okay, you listen to this, this is very interesting. A misbehaving child is a discouraged child. Now, I thought through this, as this lady, as I was reading this, he was giving biblical injunctions, but at the same time explaining why a misbehaving child is a discouraged child. Colossians 3:21, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, lest they be discouraged. The Greek definition of anger and discouraged: anger is a natural disposition of the person, agitation of the soul. If you study in the Greek, you realize that's the meaning. Impulse of any violent emotion, but especially anger, wrath, indignation exhibited in punishment. Hence, for punishment itself, or punishment inflicted by magistrates. This is interesting. Anger has to do with some association with punishment. Okay? Now, this anger is necessary to punish, okay? Because when a child does wrong, it needs to be punished. But, it's an interesting thought when considering that parents' punishment of children actually leads the child to be more discouraged. Okay? That means Dr. Spock is right. We shouldn't never punish our children. Wrong. The Bible does say we are to punish. Okay? But let's go on first. But it's interesting because if punishment, the Bible says in the book of James chapter 1, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. The Bible says, Proverbs 22, I think it's verse 10, the rod of anger shall fail. If we discipline our children because we cannot stand you anymore, I tell you, you better stop. You better stop. You better stop what I tell you. Otherwise, pia. Okay, how many parents, how many of us as fathers, we are guilty? I say we are guilty of that. We lose control. If we lose control, you expect our children to develop control? Think about that. Think about that. That's why one of the principles in child management and training is this. When you need to deal with the child's behavior, you better, fathers, be absolute control of yourself and know why you're doing it. My children know when I spank them. After that, they still kiss me and say, Papa, I love you. You know, the way I spank my children, you will only know at the judgment seat. But thank God, my children still love God. Because God has a way for discipline. But fathers, when we provoke our children, and when we discipline them because we cannot take it anymore. Dear friends, if you will discipline your children because it's me, and you cannot stand the misbehavior, you have missed the real reason for discipline. You know what you're doing? you are managing the behavior without dealing with the heart. And many parents have been impulsive in chastising without finding out whether or not it will bring about. You know, Singaporeans always like this. Just tell me where to press, everything will be fine. Yesterday we were at, we were just having our lunch, and we went to Pizza Hut, give a child a treat. And you know, in Pizza Hut in Malaysia, they are more advanced, you know, than Singapore. You don't have to, why you laughing? You don't have to call the waiter one. They actually have this small device, that what you call cancel, call, or what else? Huh? What? Bill, how you know, George? Okay, so the children are very sensitive to this. When you want to order, you just press call. Then the waiter will come. You don't have to, you don't know Singapore, you still have to do this, right? Then you press one. And you want to pay the bill, or you put bill, they will come with the bill. And so we were there, and I lost my train of thought already. What was I talking about before that? Again. So fast. Again. Plus one. Oh yes. Sorry. For us, as fathers who want to train our children, we always look for, I do this, everything will be fine, right? Now Singaporeans like you. Step 1, 2, 3, 4, everything will turn out fine. Right? Step 1, 2, 3, 4, everything is all fine. Like Uncle Roland bought the thing for us. They said, as long as you pull four corners, you press out the thing, the tentage will come out. As long as you follow a particular sequence, everything will be fine, right? It's true with mechanical things. Unfortunately, children are made of mind, body, and soul. That's why you cannot press 1, 2, 3, the child will turn out fine. You need to press 1, 2, 3 plus sincere prayer and your heart in it as well. And even after you press 1, 2, 3, the child can go elsewhere. Huh? And some of us are going to experience, listen to me, that's my gift. Some of us will have children in the teenage years, and you're wondering why they are not living for God. Because right now our children can, we are still bigger than our children. But you know, it comes to a time when our children become bigger than us. And when they want to go their own way. Now, fathers, is it possible that sometimes we may discourage our children by the way we live? We need to be very careful. Is it possible that a misbehaving child is indeed a discouraged child? We depress the spirits of our children, and we depress them of the confidence to live out their lives. I'm not saying that fathers, by the way, fathers, if you go the other extreme and let your children do what they want, you are sinning as well. You know why? You are letting the sinful nature run rampant. Okay? There is a balance. How do we discourage our child? Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12. How do we discourage our child? How do we do things that discourage our child? Look at verse chapter 2, verse 12. So it's chapter 2 and verse 12. The Bible says, now the sons of Eli were the sons of Belial. The sons of Eli are the sons of the devil. That's why he says, the sons of Eli, the high priest, who are supposed to be closest to God, are the sons of the devil. You know, that verse convicts my heart. And a pastor of a church has children of the devil. Huh? Is it possible that we can apply that to ourselves? And I, as a Christian father, have children that works for the devil. The word Belial means the devil. Here, the sons of Eli, the high priest of Israel, were the sons of Belial. Why? They knew not the Lord. They knew not the Lord. And then you go down to verse 22, and notice what Eli did when they did wrong. Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto Israel and how they lay with the women that assembled. This is gross, disgusting, abominable sin. You know what the sons were doing? They were taking advantage immorally of the ladies that come to the temple. That's why he says, why do we such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all these people. Oh, nay, my sons, it's not good report that I hear. Hey, don't make me lose my reputation. you guys, you need to control yourselves. Ye make the Lord's people to transgress. Verse 25, if one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? So Eli, when the sons are grown up, try to, steady, and control yourself. Please control your sin, alright? This is not very good for my reputation and yours and the nation of Israel. You know what how the sons treated him? Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord will slay them. Now, you can talk about because the Lord will slay them a lot, but listen, notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father. You know where that started? Fathers? You know where that started? The sons of Eli are grown men now. Their father is a high priest. The Bible said they knew not the Lord. Do your children know God? I'm not talking about Bible study. I'm not talking about knowing the Bible. I'm talking about knowing God personally. Children, listen carefully. Just because you're born in a Christian family doesn't make you a Christian. I'll say that again and again and again and again. Don't ever assume you're saved unless you know deep down in your own heart, I have trusted Christ. He's my Savior. Daddy and Mommy pointed me to Jesus. Now I'm a Christian. Does it make sense? Because Eli was a high priest of Israel. And the Bible says the sons were the sons of the devil. And now they're grown men because they can sleep with other ladies now. And they were desecrating the holy places, and the father is, hey, don't do wrong, son, don't do wrong. Do you realize God gave instruction in the book of Deuteronomy how to deal with these children? Let's look there. Deuteronomy 21 verse 18. They did not hearken unto the father. They did not hearken unto the father. Moms and dads, I put you together in there. When your children say, I want, and you give in. The Bible says, when he is 21, 22, 23 years old, your bank account will be empty. You say, Brother Johnny, don't be so harsh. Me and my wife had to deal with a family that the son emptied the family's, the savings that this grandmother is keeping for the grandson. You don't tell me it won't happen. You know what I'm trying to warn you now? You help them. Chasten your son betimes. When it is early, when you grow up, they will go according to a way. They say, why didn't I do my part? Look at Deuteronomy 21 verse 18. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son or daughter which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, notice the mother is included too. And children, notice the mother is included too. Don't you ever play mom against dad. I say that again, children. I'm warning you. Sorry, I'm shouting. But you know what? I'm just warning you. I want to impress these children, don't you ever, when daddy say no, go to your mommy. Please. You know why? Because when you do that, God says, if you will not hearken to the voice of your father and your mother. And parents, we need to have more sense. Work together. Because you are one. Work together for the glory of God and the bringer of your children. Because God says, if you will not hearken to the voice of your father or your mother, and that when they have chastened him, will not, even after you spank the person, they still will not do right. Then shall his father and mother lay hold on him, and bring him unto the elders of the city, and unto the gates of the place. And they shall say unto the elders of the city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious, he will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Notice they continue to live in the flesh. I want. Parents have more sense. You are in charge, not your child. The child is smart. I cry 5 minutes, mommy don't give me I cry 6 minutes. I increase my volume. I throw myself on the street. I make them lose face. Then they will lose their wallet for me. I'm giving you these tips. You know what? It's interesting, the Bible says he's a glutton and a drunkard. You know why? He lives according to the flesh. He's still living according to the flesh. You know what happened? And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones, and he died. Parents, amen. If this is the Old Testament law in the New Testament, we don't have much problem in our homes, right? But you know what? For a father to bring the child to the rulers of the city is the same today as we Singaporeans bring our children to the social worker and say, this child is BPC. You know what that is? Beyond parental control. it is a shame to the Jewish people when the parents cannot control their child. God put that there to remind fathers the ultimate consequence. If you do not take responsibility to train your child will end up in the hole with stones on their head. The Bible said, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Does that make sense? I want to strike terror in the hearts of children first. Because you need to fear God and His Word. Children, you listen to me. If you want to disobey mom and get what you want now, one day when you stand before God, the righteous judge, you won't get what you want. You want to go into heaven with mom and dad, but you won't be able to do it. You know why? Because God is not moved. When God sits on the throne, He's very clear. I'm the judge, I'm not your savior anymore. But you know what? Now it's age of grace. You know why God brings you to church so that to teach you? So that in your life, your family can have stability and harmony. The end result, the children become discouraged and many will not want to live for God. No, fathers, we discourage our children. Eli knew God's word. Eli did not do God's word. Fathers, we discourage our children by our disobedient Christian life. That's what happened to Eli. You know what happened to the sons? The sons was killed by God. And guess what? Eli died too. And that's why God had to bring Samuel to be the next prophet. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Fathers, we discourage our children by our disobedient life. Proverbs 22 verse 8, he that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and then the rod of his anger shall fail. You see, we always use the second part, the rod of anger shall fail. But you know what? The first part, he that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity. If you are playing with sin, fathers, you don't expect to train your children to do right. When you are disobedient first, whatever you do from there comes from a life of corruption. So the Bible says, this is what Solomon says. Listen to the scriptures. Number two, fathers, we can also discourage our children by our words. 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 30. Then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan his son. And he said unto him, thou son of the perverse, rebellious woman, David and Jonathan were good friends. But Saul was jealous of David. Why? Because David was to be the next king. And King Saul was the king. And say, how can David be the king? And then well, the one time there was a dinner, and David wasn't there. And Jonathan was kind of trying to suss out whether King Saul is going to get angry with David again. And then later on they found out that David is not going to be there, and Saul was angry with Jonathan, his own son. You know what? You know what Saul called Jonathan? I read the translation of another version. Here in the King James, he said unto him, thou son of a perverse, rebellious woman. You know what another version said? Thou son of a female dog. Now, I don't stand for that, but you know what did King Saul call his son? As much as you, pardon the expression, you silly person, you whatever, all the words that bring down the child came out from his mouth. You know what Solomon, do you know what Jonathan did? Stomp out. Wouldn't you? As a child? And by the way, Jonathan was a grown man too. And he had that from King Saul. You know what? Jonathan said, look, I don't want this kind of father. We discourage our children by our words. It doesn't have to be derogatory words, you know. You can even speak in silence. When you look at your child and say, when your child comes to you and you walk off, you know what you're saying? I reject you. Parents, we have an advantage that God has given to us, whereby children, when they are young, has been given the natural inclination towards their parents. Does it make sense? That's why no matter how much you spank them, after that they still come to you and kiss you and love you and all salivate all over you. Huh? But it comes a time, if you keep on rejecting them, they are looking, they still need the security, and therefore they look for their friends. And when they get into trouble, fathers, you won't be the first one to hear of it. Could be the policeman. Brother Johnny, don't exaggerate. Don't test God. As a pastor, I've seen so many of these kind of things happening. I think you know what I mean. Let not your child be a statistic. Do right. Don't discourage your children. Christians, are you discouraging your children by your influence? Number one. Number two, we need to nurture them. Provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition. The nurture. Nurture involves two things. Number one, it involves teaching. It involves education. If you read the meaning of the word nurture, it means to educate, number one. We need to have family devotions daily. I'll just be very quick with this. Deuteronomy 6, verse 6 and 7. And these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently. Fathers, it is absolute priority, no matter how busy you are, you must have a presentation of God's word in your family on a daily basis. Because God says to bring them up in a nurture. The nurture involves education. Education involves instruction. Okay, I know in some churches they don't have group devotions. You know why I insist on that? It's a good opportunity for all church members to get up early before breakfast to get around God's word first. No Bible, no breakfast, okay? Some people know, cannot. No Bible, no breakfast. But you know, families, fathers, you must teach them. You need to have family devotions on a daily basis. If you don't know how, I'll teach you. Let me know. You know, sometimes I do ask you, and some families have been doing that now. You need to have kind of like a family altar, where as a family, you come together. It doesn't have to be like 1.5 hour service, okay? Don't plan. Fathers, don't do that. Huh? 10 minutes, 15 minutes, you gather together. Maybe you have an older son, maybe lead a song. And then as a father, you have maybe one verse, one word from the Bible. Sometimes I'll use a passage to teach a particular attitude. Sometimes I'll just follow the book of Proverbs. The children need to know there must be a time gathered around God's word to prepare them. You need to teach them. Do you have a time, fathers, that you will teach your children the word of God on a daily basis? If you don't, you need to start. How are they going to know God's way if you don't teach them? Make sense? Simple common sense. Come, let's follow God. Number one, you not only need to teach them, you need to nurture them by training them. Training means to enforce. A teacher teach, a trainer enforce. Okay? In the army, that's what they do. They give you an instruction, then after that, they get everyone you do. If you do wrong, they slap you on the head, right? That's enforcement. Fathers, you're not to slap your children on the head. Alright, we have to nurture them. In Genesis 18:19, for I know God, speaking of Abraham, that he will command his children. The word command there means he will actually strictly charge and he will follow through. In other words, when I get my children to do something, after that, my wife will check on it. Now that's inconsistent on my part. I need to give them the instruction and then check on it as well. The word is enforced. Fathers, can I say, when you say yes, it means yes. When you say no, it means no. Children, listen to this. When Papa say no, it doesn't mean maybe. Can I say that again? Huh? Whenever you want to get something, when Papa say no, say, oh, I'm going to ask mommy. When Papa say no means, children, do you want me to identify you first? When Papa say no means, I can't hear you. Still can't hear you. Parents, you have a war on your head. When Baba say no means? Why are you so afraid? Just say no. You know why I get them to say once you know, it's a commitment already. Huh? Those in the camp, you know why the old man, the new man? This is a practical, naturalistic way of seeing the sinful nature. When daddy say no, it means no. And that, you know why dad give him? I'm gonna die if I don't have to sleep. they're more professional. They look at you, and then the tears come out. Don't cry. They know just how to pitch it. Families, you know, you must say certain things at certain time, and then when mommy comes in, you must change your position, that kind of thing. You know.
In fact, they are the greatest teachers.
Well, they can be. Daddies, make sure we learn the right thing. We need to train them. What do we need to train them in? Number one, we need to train them to read the Word of God for themselves. For themselves. Yes, initially, I think children may have difficulty in reading. Parents, it's important for you to read until they can take off by themselves. Okay, be there with them. What we do, we encourage Esther Joy in our family devotions. Each of us will take one verse, I'll read. And then as they read, I want her to be part and parcel of the family. So she read the verse too. And she tries her best. You know, sometimes they may miss a word. That's fine. You know, we don't laugh. We just go on. Okay? Now, sometimes we laugh. That's where she starts crying and then we get convicted. Okay? Okay. Read the Word of God. They need to be nurtured in reading the Bible for themselves. Number two, they need to learn to pray daily by themselves. Number three, these are just some things practically, okay? They need to learn to make their beds. Okay? Now, what's the practical responsibilities of their lives? Number four, they need to eat what is given to them. I say again. It's actually up to the family. But you know, the Bible is very clear. You know why? I read from 1 Timothy 4 verse 2. Lord, how, I was thinking, Lord, how am I going to teach this? That the children are supposed to eat what is given to them. And now I'm thinking, Lord, is this a Bible principle, a practice of the scriptures, if we enforce that children eat what is given to them, not let them choose? I know that some children may have sensory problems that they cannot, there are some things with their, that's fine, I know if this is proven. But you know, some children are just plain, I don't like that. I don't like my peas. I don't like my carrots. I don't like my taugeh. I don't like my, but if it's chickadees, if it's ice cream, with hundreds and thousands and 1 million. Okay? If it's whatever. If it's satay. If it's putu piring, we have it in Malacca. What you see? A satay, 120 stick, gone in 20 minutes. About 20 minutes. Very fast! Gone! 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. I'll just read. You can follow along. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God had created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Now in terms of, this is pretty clear in terms of interpretation, when God has given something, we are to receive it with thanksgiving. You know, when a child, one of the things in our family, if a child doesn't eat, what, after we're given thanks, the child doesn't eat that. Say, I don't like that. You know what that is? Being ungrateful. That's a small thing. But you know what? Parents, your child will grow up to be ungrateful. I will choose what I want to eat. If I don't eat it, and parents, if you reinforce that, you will train up your child in the way he will be going. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. We have a, not my wife's family, but there was a lady that is a, one lady was actually in a Peranakan restaurant, not in Malacca, right? That was many years ago. He was with a family that he was supposed to be. The lady was supposed to marry the guy, okay? And he was eating dinner with the whole family. After a while, when the food came, the lady walked out and didn't want to continue the dinner with the prospective family. You know why? The lady walked out. The family didn't order the food that she liked. Well, Johnny, that doesn't happen. It does. This lady walked out of the restaurant with her prospective family members next time because the family did not order what she liked. You know, after she got married, it happened during reunion dinner. Doesn't happen? Think again. Those in the church camp, now you understand the old man. There's a continuation of the old sinful nature in the corruption of the personality that doesn't change over time unless Jesus Christ comes in. You break the bonds of sin and we surrender to God, and that's where He takes over. Listen to the messages. And children, if we are not grateful for what we have, you know, sometimes I know Esther Joy, she's asleep now so I can talk bad about her. No, just kidding. You know, sometimes Esther Joy would actually to reinforce that, Papa, I will eat what's given to me. There's no choice in our family. You eat what's given, otherwise you don't eat. If God has given us food, who are we to reject what God has given to us? Oh yes, yeah, sometimes we do give them choices. But you know what? If a child is given, he's to be trained to what? If they don't like it, well, eat a little bit. To be fair to them. Just take one spoon to show submission to authority. Okay? You need to learn to eat what is given to them, and they need to eat by themselves. Now, have you seen parents feeding their children at 7 years old? Can I say the moment the child can put the spoon to the mouth, he's supposed to eat by themselves? Because the Bible teaches us in Proverbs 19:24, a lazy person, a slothful man, hides his hand in his bosom and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. If a child doesn't eat by himself, you're encouraging him to be slothful and lazy, and what will he do in the work of God? In Matthew 25, thou wicked and what kind of servant? Slothful servant. Look at the mind of God in all this. You train a child when he's young, you have a faithful servant of God next time. You spoil the child when he's young, he's not going to serve God, he will serve himself. Alright? We need to train them to eat by themselves, and we need to train them to be faithful to the Lord's house. Okay? And we need to train them to work. Yes, children, parents need to train you to work, because God created us to work. When we go to heaven, we will still work. Okay? We won't be strumming harps all along. We will still work, except that we won't sweat, that we won't perspire, and there's not going to be any 9 to 5. It will be 100% work all along. Some of you, oh no! No, don't worry. In heaven, it's all different. We need to nurture them. Parents, are you teaching them? Are you training them? Number 3, we need to admonish them. The word admonish means train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Admonish means, comes from two words, meaning to bring or to place it to the mind. Okay? That simply means is to highlight to the intellectual thinking of the child. After we have nurtured them, after we have tried to train their character, and then there's rebellion. Sometimes children just don't want to do what we tell them, right? Okay, parents, and this is what you need to do. There needs to be a stern, non-negotiable use of fatherly authority that God has given to you. Children, dad is in charge. Fathers, you are in charge. I'll just say this, don't throw stones at me. Sometimes mothers took charge because dads, we are not taking charge. Fathers, we need to take charge. You know why men fell into sin? Who did God give the instruction to not to eat the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Gave it to Adam. When Eve took the fruit, where was Adam? Huh? Look at Genesis chapter 3. Verse 6, and the Bible says, when a woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit, the lady took of the fruit, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband. What's the preposition there? With. Now there are two levels of interpretation. One, with, the word with in the Hebrew is what? It's a position, right? It could be with her, beside, or with her, beside. Or with her as husband and wife. Let's say that if it is the first one, men were in big trouble. Maybe that's why we have this problem today. When the wife wants to do something, we who know God's will are not saying anything. Parents, listen to this. Fathers, you are ultimately still in charge. And ladies, remember this. Dad's in charge. But dad, you are, after I touch on the fourth one. The reason why children misbehave, because dad, sometimes we are inconsistent with our authority. When there's rebellion in the camp, in the family, that's when God has to say, look. You know why God gave fathers the authority? You know why God make fathers bigger than their sons? To give you a physical advantage. God also gives you a spiritual advantage. He gives you a muscle advantage too. Huh? He gives you a financial advantage too. Okay? No, I'm saying that God has put you in charge. That's what the Bible teaches. We need to then admonish them. The word admonish is in two levels. If you study the word, it means number one, to warn them. The word admonish means the warning that you give them is not this. No. If they're not doing wrong, I say, you better, don't you dare get on my nerve. And all becomes red, the eyebrow become up, and then all the fire start coming out. Okay? The word admonish means always warning them from the Bible. Because your children is a gift from God, and your job is to push them back to the Creator. Does it make sense? In nutetic counseling, the word nutetic means admonition. And when we were to train, that's why I always tell my children, you know why God wants you to obey? I'll quote 1 Samuel 15:21. To obey is better than sacrifice. You know why Papa, I always tell you, you know why Papa, you know, a number one priority in our family is obedience. Disobedience is not tolerated. Disobedience equals go to the room. Okay? And put your hands on the floor. You want me to show you what it means to put your hand on the floor? It means this. And they know. And they start to cry as they are walking to the room. Parents, the Bible teaches, spare not for their crying. Just when a child cries, doesn't mean they are dying. It's just that they are crying. You see a difference? Both in spelling and actual life application. Crying means crying. Water come out only. Nothing else will happen. Huh? They won't die if they don't get the special book. They won't die if they won't get the special sweet. They won't die. But as fathers, you need to show to your child, if they cannot submit to your authority, what makes you think they can submit to God whom they cannot see? That's what God teaches in 1 John chapter 4. If you cannot love your brother whom you can see, how then they will love God that you cannot see? In the same way, by application, consistent with Scripture, if your child cannot respect your authority, what makes you think they can respect God's? No wonder sometimes we have rebellious attitudes in our homes. Why? Because fathers, we are not in charge based on what God has given to us. We need to admonish them by warning them from God's word. Number two, by rebuking them. Number one, to say, you better not do this, God said this. But if they continue to do it, and that's where the rebuke comes in. The Bible says in Proverbs 9, verse 8, we need to rebuke them because the Bible says, rebuke a wise man and he will love thee. Proverbs 17, verse 10 says, a reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. You can whack a child 100 times. It's not going to get in. You know why? Because it causes physical pain. And that's why God says, you cannot deal with matters of the heart with just spanking. Oh yes, spanking drives home the impression that there is pain if you will disobey. But fathers, if you do not have a heart of love for your child, say, I want my child to live for God. And I will, so many times with tears, and to spank my children, say, I do it because I don't want you to go the way of the world. And then they say, okay, see what kind of mess people make of their lives if they would not go God's way. But you know what? We, because of... You know what it is when you feel soft for your child, and to the point when they cry, you also cry and you give in to them. You know what that is? That is pride and selfishness. Because you do not want to feel bad. I feel bad if my child cries too much. Maybe they choke. You know what's going to happen? You know what's going to happen? You are enforcing a rebellious, sinful lifestyle that the child knows. I get what I want from mom and dad by my action. But you know what I need to do? Sometimes, you know what, children? I do child training in KK. And sometimes children just went to the toilet. And then they come in and say, then they look at me and they look at the things they have to do. And then after that, they say, Papa, I'm going to go toilet. You know what I tell the parents? Never mind. Wet the floor, never mind. The parents look at me. Yeah, just let them. Because I teach them, if you give in now, they know what to do next time when they come here. And then go after that, they have no problems. Well, Johnny, this is all practical. Yes, it's practical. Fathers, we need to admonish them. Listen to the Bible, Proverbs 28, verse 30. He that rebuketh a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flattereth with his tongue. How many of you have seen parents do this? After the child is crying and throwing a tantrum, oh sayang, good boy. You know, you have just done what the Bible said. That guy is going to hate you next time, because the Bible says, he that rebuketh a wise man shall find favor more than he that flattereth with his tongue. You think through that, parents. That's why I cling you, don't say that! When the child is just thrown a tantrum, don't carry the child! You know, my child is not me, even no matter how tired he is. When you get up, means you get up. But of course, I stand by just in case he falls down. Does that make sense? Love is still there. But you know what? In the training of a child, you don't give in. You see, if you give in to the child knows he doesn't have to depend on himself. He doesn't have to do what is right. He just do as the situation falls. Parents, we need to rebuke. And if rebuke does not bring about repentance, then there needs to be discipline. The rod and reproof, listen to this. The rod and reproof give wisdom. You need to apply the rod of understanding to the seed of wisdom. Some children who may not understand, you need to give it to them. That's what the Bible says. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Parents, you one day you are going to live with the shame of your child because you did nothing to help them grow. You did nothing to discipline them. You did nothing to keep them in the straight and narrow way. Our goal is not to Christianize them. But did you realize that even the punishment is to show them the wages of sin is death? It is actually the gospel in a nutshell. The discipline of child is to show that if you continue this, Papa can just spank you now. When you're 21 years old, I cannot. But then if you continue to rebel against God, one day God is going to whip you forever in hell. Your choice. The rod and reproof give wisdom. Proverbs 22 verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from you. You listen to this. This is very important. The Bible says that foolishness is bound up in the child. By disciplining them, you will drive it away. Question for you. If the parents doesn't drive the foolishness out, where will the foolishness stay? In the heart. Will he stay at 5 years old? Yes. Will he stay at 10 years old? Yes. Will he stay at 15 years old? Yes. Will he stay at 20 years old? You listen to this. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but if it's not driven out, he becomes a fool when he's old. And the Bible says, Psalm 19 verse 1, what? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. There is no authority over my life. I do basically what I want. Parents, your choice. Fathers, your choice. How do I as a father accomplish the birth? Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Then we'll finish. Fathers, I'm a father, so I preach hard to myself. And so sorry, you guys are here too. But Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Look at the application of scripture. Deuteronomy 6 in verse number 4. How do I do this, Brother Johnny? Seems like a tall order. Seems so difficult. You know what? We need firstly to come back to the fact that God is one Lord. He is our God. Deuteronomy chapter 6 in verse 4. The Bible says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and all thy soul, and all thy might." You know, the first thing you need to do, fathers, to accomplish what I just told you, God has to be first place. Your mind, your affections, your heart, your career, everything has to be placed at the altar of God. And say, God, you take charge of my life. And God, you are number one. You are number one. Not only must God be first place, look at verse number 6, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." God must be first place. God's word must be not here. Many parents know the word. You know, how do we practice life? You know, how do we do right? You know, just now when we sail the ocean blue, you know how they know? Because the words are in their heart, right? Right? And then, ahoy, ahoy, we always say ahoy. Ahoy, ahoy, we always say ahoy. We sail your van to the very end. You know why the words are inside here? The true, no, the ambassador. You know how they know? Because the words have come out here. And they are able to do that without the script. 50% without the script. Why? Because it's here. Parents, God's word must also be first in your heart, not your boss's word. Hello? Oh, you need to be in by 8:30. Because there's a presentation. I'm not saying to shirk your responsibility. I think as fathers, we need to really plan our time so that we can still fulfill what God wants us to do. But you all say, no, you must work overtime. No. You must stay back. That's, you need to think, what is your responsibility? Because God's word must be first place. I know what I'm going to say, it's going to be very hard. If anything that stops you from fulfilling your role as a father, that thing must go. You know why? You cannot bring your engineering job to heaven. Agree? You cannot bring your contracts or banks that you're going to get, or the contracts you're going to get as a result of your deals to heaven. The only thing you can bring to heaven is your children. There was one guy who was having those in FBI will know this. There was this pastor who was having time with the family, you know, and a church member called, "Pastor, you need to come over. My wife is walking out on me," you know, and kind of thing. My family is a mess, the kind of thing, you know. And said, "No." Then the pastor actually said, "No, I have an appointment." "What's your appointment?" "I'm spending time with my family." He said, "What? You mean my family bringing up is so bad, you know, and why don't you come over?" I said, "I'm just trying to live by example. If you spend more time with your children and your family, you won't go through this crisis." I believe in family first. But can I say this? Above family, God's word must be first. I say this also. If your family prevents you from serving God with 100% of your heart, you need to be very careful, because God said you love Jesus first. The more you love Jesus, you will love Jesus and you will love your family. And the more you love your family, you will want them to follow Christ, wouldn't you? Think about that. And you know, as a whole family, you serve together. I thank God for my family. I really do. I thank God that many times they work without complaining. Sometimes. But I thank God for them. God's word must be first. And look at Deuteronomy 6 verse 7. God's word has to be taught. Deuteronomy 6 verse 7, I talk about, it must be taught. Thou shalt teach them, verse 7, teach them diligently. You know how to teach your children the word of God diligently, Father? It involves a study. Make sense? Before you teach, you need to study. Make sense? Huh? You need to teach them diligently unto your children. How often do you teach them? God's word has to be taught diligently. God's word has to be taught daily. The Bible says, "And thou shalt teach them diligently," verse 7, "unto thy children thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, when thou risest up." Sounds like it's a continuous thing. You need to teach your children daily. In verse 8, "And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be frontlets between thine eyes." The priests of those days, what they do is they actually have this little pocket here. And then they have this little two law of God that they put inside here. That is to remind them of the word of God. It has to always be in the forefront. You know how you're supposed to teach your children, fathers? By example. Through your example. When was the last time your children saw you reading the Bible? What's the last time your children saw you praying? What's the last time the children saw you go soul winning? I had the privilege, you know, when we were in Malacca. I think it was Sister Shaoling. Remember in Malacca, those people, when you bypass, there's this lady, there's one lady in the whole of Jonker's walk. This one lady who actually, she lost her left hand, and then her right hand is up to the elbow. She actually does calligraphy. Very nice Chinese writing with this. And Sister Shaoling was there, and I think with us, and then she actually asked him to write John 3:16, you know, in Mandarin. So he used the word, and she wrote very smoothly, very quickly. And then together we gave her a track to her. And then later on, I think it was Jaira, it was you, right? I said, "Hey, Papa." There was this pillar between us and the lady. "Papa, the lady is reading the track." She actually settled down. After we left, the lady settled down and then she sat down in a chair and she was using her elbow to flip the track to read. Then Jairo said, "Hey, Papa, she's reading the track." Yeah, kind of. And so what me and Jairo did was kind of, you know. And then, so it's a Hainanese Hui Guan. You know the Hui Guan? I'm a Hainanese. So I stood there, pretending lah. So I was looking. I was waiting for the time that she would finish reading. And then, Acts chapter 8, kind of, "Understandest God thou readest?" I say in Mandarin. So I walked over to her when she finished it. "Do you understand what you're reading?" And I said, then I just started sharing with her the gospel. 15 minutes, she said, I introduced myself as Pastor John. "Oh, Chen Mushu, ni hao." She tried to get a chair for me. You know, and I sat down beside her. I was able to go through this. Don't be out of ammunition wherever you go. Understand? So I gave this. I was able to share with her. And my Mandarin is not so good, so her Mandarin is 100%. I got her to read. She read word for word, and then she read it again just to understand. I asked her, "How did you lose your hand?" She was a student. I'm not too sure when university. She was a student. She was working and she was studying at the same time. She lost both her arms in an industrial accident, a machinery. So her left hand was chopped off, and those who were there know that it was up to here. She has been doing calligraphy for 20 years. That's why she's so good. You know, at the end of it, I told her this. You know, if you trust Christ as your Savior, He'll bring you to heaven, wash away your sins. She actually asked, "How do I get my sins washed away?" I was able to tell her, "Look, in Singapore, you can do all kinds of good things, but you speed. You still give you a fine, right, for your speeding." Then she understood. Then she actually asked, "How do I wash away my sin?" It's like, whoa, this is a crunch, you know. So I went and said, "Jesus Christ, have you heard of Jesus Christ?" You know? I asked her, "Have you heard of Jesus Christ?" She said, "No." My joy. I didn't lead her to Christ. I asked her, "Would you like to trust Christ?" She said, "I'm not ready." But I think that touched me. This lady has never heard the name of Jesus. She's not in the Ulu tribal jungles. She is in prosperous Malacca. I asked her, "Have you heard about Jesus?" She said, "No." "Do you know what Jesus did?" But no. I was able to share with her. And then she was reading the track. Thank God I got her contact as well. I share all that to share this. Later on, Esther Joy, my 7-year-old daughter, came to me, "Papa, did she receive Jesus?" I said, "No, well, sometimes they limit the time." You know what she said? "She needs to receive Christ, right?" "Yes." God's word has to be taught through your lifestyle. I wasn't acting, but my little 7-year-old saw, and she knew what it meant. You know, our family have this gang. When someone needs to receive Christ, say, "Papa, that person." Then Jeremiah will either go in or go in. Corner the guy. "Eat the person." For Christ, of course. Fathers, you need to have that kind of network in your family too. You live by your lifestyle. Please pray for this lady. Her name is Xue Mei. She gave me her handphone. We have one pastor, independent Baptist, in Malacca Bible Baptist Church. I intend to email to him. There's only one lady there. So it's very easy for Pastor Han to identify her. Please pray for her. I pray with tears. "Lord, save this lady. Lord, I pray that one day I will see her in heaven. And I believe I will, by faith. I don't know what's going to happen." You know what she said? "Is it very far, the church?" Because she said she's not only a lady without 1.5 hands. She's a very lonely lady. She said she has not many friends in Malacca. It was my privilege to share with her someone that can one day bring her to heaven. You know what she said? Wow, 这样我就不用这样苦了。Then my life wouldn't be so hard. I said, no, don't worry. You trust Christ and wash away your sin. And she was reading every single one, you know. And thank God that we even have a sinner's prayer in there that she can even pray by herself. We need to pray for this Xue Mei. I say all that to say this. God's word has to be taught, fathers, through your lifestyle. If you're not married right now, listen to this. You need to start serving God now. You know why? When the children come, and your wife come, and your jobs come, it will be harder. But when you serve God now, you grow up. Your children can see Christ. As we close, fathers, what influence do you have on your children? What influence do you have on your children? Do you provoke them to anger or do you bring them up? I'll finish off with this line. Small boys become big men through the influence of big men who care about small boys. I say again, small boys become big men through the influence of big men who care about small boys. I quote the words of Christ, suffer the little children to come unto me, for to such belongeth the kingdom of God. Fathers, what are you doing to ensure your children come into the kingdom of God? I'll close with this. For you, some of you, I'm not a father, so I don't. Some of you have lives that you know could have been better if your dads would have taken control. And I say this on behalf of dads, don't blame them. I'm not saying that, they shirk their responsibility, but we don't blame them, no. Fathers will one day have to stand before God for their lives. And maybe you are the product of this kind of life. Can I remind you we have a Heavenly Father? Can I remind you that our Heavenly Father loves this world so much that He will send His only begotten Son into this world? That if you will just trust Him, He can change your life again. And rather than look back and blame your dad, you can look back and love your dad. Amen? Life is lousy if you live a life of bitterness. But if you will just come to Jesus Christ, you know what He says? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Some of us may carry the heavy burdens of our father's absence. I was without a dad since I was 5. I can preach this with authority. My dad died when I was 5. My mom had to struggle to make ends meet. I thank God for her. I remember one time during Father's Day, one of my friends in junior college said, Johnny, I pity you. I said, why? Your dad passed away. I said, yeah, I know. But you know what she said too? Thank God we have a Heavenly Father. Amen? He will never leave us. You too. You may think, well, Johnny, you know my life is, I hate my dad, I hate my mom or whoever. Life is lousy with hate. Amen? Why? Why should you hate? Why let something eat everything up when God has put so many blessings out there? You know, you have us as friends. Yeah, that's a start. You have God's word. You have your health. After this, you go for lunch. Huh? You can taste. Huh? Of course, you miss the putu piring from Malacca, you know. But, you know, you can still eat. And you can enjoy yourself. But you know what? You can come to Jesus and say, Lord, you know my life. My life is like this. My dad wasn't around or whoever. My family wasn't strong. But if you just trust Christ, Jesus says in John chapter 10, I'm come that you might have life and might have it more abundantly. If you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, or you think that through the years God has, things have happened to you, you feel this pain in your heart and then you're just rejecting everything, you know what? Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The rest is not in church. The rest is not in religion. The rest is not in anything else. The rest is not in the drinks you can have. The rest is not in anything you can ever hope for. The rest is not even in yourself. The rest is only in Christ. Amen? Come to Jesus. In His word, He shows you what it takes to become a Christian. And then, Christian, let go of what you are holding on to so that Jesus can take over. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. I know I've gone a ways. But Father, I pray that you will do something, Father, in our lives. Lord, I pray for our fathers. I know our fathers go through tremendous stress bringing up the children. If they are Christian, they know their Christian responsibility. They know the problems and the situations they are in. And Lord, many times, perhaps even personally, Lord, they have struggles. Lord, really, I bring them before you at the throne of grace. Father, that thy Holy Spirit will do a precious work in our fathers. God, for your sakes and for our family's sakes, I pray for our fathers to be strong, number one, in their love for you. Lord, that nothing else matters, Lord, except their relationship with you. Oh yeah, there are struggles along the way, but God, they will put you first. I pray that your word will be first place in their heart too. God, I pray for the families that revolve around this father. I pray that they will support this father. But God, I pray that the father will take charge. The father will give up things, father, that will impede or hinder, Lord, the growth of the child. Just as you, Lord, our Heavenly Father, gave up your only begotten Son so that we can have eternal life. Lord, help us as fathers to realize our lives is to be lived in sacrifice to our families. Just as Jesus lived in sacrifice. Just as God, the Heavenly Father, gave his only begotten Son. What pain he must have felt at Calvary when Jesus was separated from you, Lord. But yet, Father, it was all in your plan. Lord, help us to recognize as fathers that when we sacrifice for our family, it will be in your plan. Because you tell us, fathers, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. If your eyes closed, heads bowed, and speak directly to fathers. If you're a father today, and you say, Brother Johnny, I know what you're talking about. I've heard this a lot of times. Or perhaps some areas you've heard. But certain areas that God has spoken to me in my life, I know I need to give up for God and for the love of my family. And you are saying, Brother Johnny, would you pray for me? You know, I'm not here to embarrass you. You know I love you. You know God loves you too. You see, if you are a father and you say, God, help me. I want to be the father you want me to be. But God, there's so many luggage and baggage I have. I need to remove them. If that is your personal testimony, all I want to do is to pray for you. Would you just put up your right hand? I'll pray for you and ask God to strengthen you in your resolve. Amen. I see that hand. Amen. All the fathers, any other fathers? I'm not here to embarrass anyone. Before God, pray. Seal your resolve. God, I will do my best for you. I will surrender. Is there anyone? Don't resist God. Why resist someone who loves you so much? Is there anyone else? Can I just ask you another question? If you are a child, you may have grown up or you're just a little child, and you have come to the stage that you are blaming your families for what has happened. I'm not condoning whatever that has happened. I don't know what has happened. But I do know this. If you would live with a heart of hatred, a heart of unforgiveness for your families, or your mom or your dad, even as a Christian, you're living a lousy life. Because God encourages us to be reconciled and to forgive. Maybe God has spoken to you in your heart. And maybe you're saying, God, I don't have the perfect parent, but I thank you that you saved me. I thank God that I can show love to my dad and mom, regardless of what has happened. You know, Jesus wants you to come to him first. And you're saying in your heart, Brother Johnny, pray for me. Help me to obey God in forgiveness so my love will grow for my family. For my mom and my dad, especially my dad. Is there anyone like that? Just pull up your right hand, I'll pray for you. No one looking around. Amen, I see that hand. Amen, anyone else? Amen, that hand too. Amen, that hand too. I need to love my dad. Is there anyone else? It's between you and God, just pray. Pray, Christians, pray. Surrender that heart to God. Say, I will love my dad. I will love my mom because God loved me. And what excuse do I have not to love my parents? I'll ask one more question. If you're here today, you are not sure you're going to heaven when you die. Can I ask you? Just like this lady I shared the gospel to in Malacca, she only had one chance with me. And I thank God for the opportunity with tears. I thank God because she had never heard the name of Christ. But yet you have heard it week after week after week. If you're here today and say, Brother Johnny, I don't know whether I'm saved. I need to settle that with God. Is there anyone? Just pull up your right hand, I'll pray for you. And get someone to share with you. Let's pray. Father, I pray for those who have put up their hands. Lord, I pray that you would help the fathers to be strong. Lord, so many have put up their hands. I'm a father just like them, and I know the struggles because, God, we're all in the same boat. Trying to steer strongly towards Christ, steer strongly towards the things that you want us to do and to help our children grow in Christ. But at the same time, the current is strong, Lord. The winds of this world is opposing us. We are unable to give, to grow strongly unless you help us. Father, I pray for every dad. I pray right now as they pray, you strengthen their resolve to do right. You strengthen their resolve to love their families with all their hearts, to discipline and if need be, to nurture where it's necessary, to show the word of God where it's necessary. God, I pray you strengthen every dad today. I pray for everyone who says and look back and say, there's certain things in my heart about my dad or my mom that I just cannot get out. Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit who teaches us to love according to your will. Yes, it's hard, Lord, to surrender the old man of hatred and replace it with the new man of love. I pray, God, that you help us to replace that because it is your will. I pray for every sister, every brother who carries that daily in their hearts. I pray that you help them to let it go at the cross and come clean with you. That their relationship, Lord, with their parents will get better. Because God, you're a God of reconciliation. Oh God, please, by your word, with your Holy Spirit and strength, help us as Christians to be reconciled to our parents. I pray for one who may be struggling in taking that role as a father. I pray for one who may be struggling to say, no, I will not forgive. But God, in your love, help this person to overcome by your Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you for our church. We ask that you help us to love one another as you've loved us. Lord, we thank you for all that you're going to do in our lives. We look forward to change. We look forward to restored relationships because people have decided to obey you. It's not about how we feel, Lord. It's about our obedience to you. Thank you for the many brethren who have responded to your word. It's not my word that will change. I am in need of change, Lord. But we thank you for your precious word. We just end up by praying for this Shui Mei, Lord, that one day we will see her in heaven and her arms restored. Thank you for what you're going to do. Lord, even as we just spend the day with our dads today, help us to thank you for them. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're finished, we're closed.